and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
What's up, everyone?
Have you had a nice week or so? Did you miss us? We hope you did.
We missed you guys. This is episode 14, TurboGrafx / PC Engine.
Now, you probably noticed that last week we posted a video. What did you guys think of that? It probably didn't make a whole lot of sense. I bet there were some people who thought it was funny. But, Carl, why don't you explain that a little bit in context?
It actually is related to this week's episode. It was a little bit of a Easter egg or a little bit of a kind of preview, I guess, to this week's episode. So there's a band, Taito Corporation has an in-house band called Zentada, which is just made up of a bunch of Taito Corporation composers.
Right.
So that did soundtracks for lots of kind of well-known games. So that's what they call their band. So that video you saw was a live concert of Zentada from like the early 90s
right.
in Japan.
And they're actually playing a track that we're playing on the podcast. But me and Carl
yes.
thought it was really funny because it's this sort of older Japanese man, and it's this not, you wouldn't think, very well-known song from like a not very successful video game system, but they're all there mm-hmm. and it's like a rock concert and they're wearing those silver outfits, all those people going crazy. But what just killed it for me, it was so funny, is then I assume he's the composer playing piano.
Yeah,
just
the keyboard.
Has this like modest, humble, sort of like not really smiling, just way of playing this like typical sounding video game song, and people are going crazy.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Like
he
the audience
so out of his element.
The audience were responding to it as if it was like a famous rock band, and I just thought it was so cute that it was all these like kind of nerdy Japanese dudes. But anyway, so we hope you enjoyed that video. So we actually are going to play that song that they played.
So today. Yeah, we are playing TurboGrafx 16 games on this episode.
Yes, and this it's a little bit confusing as far as the term PC Engine. I know I kind of used it in a wrong context in previous episodes. So the PC Engine is the same thing as the TurboGrafx 16. It's what it was called in Japan. We're not going to be playing any CD soundtracks. So a lot of times when you hear PC Engine, a lot of people think of like, you know, CD, but that's actually was like the Super CD. So it was like an add-on to the original TurboGrafx 16.
Right. And the TurboGrafx 16 had that too. It was actually just a little bit of history. It was the first CD add-on to any home game console.
Mm-hmm.
And it did just as bad as about every other one.
Yeah, not very well.
It's excusable because it's TurboGrafx.
And in general, the TurboGrafx 16 or the PC, however you want to call it, it did not do very well at all. It was kind of a failure commercially.
It was sort of hiding in the back of Sega and Nintendo.
Exactly. So anyway, the music we're playing today are all original TurboGrafx 16 or PC Engine soundtracks using the built-in sound chip. So none of this is CD audio. We will have another episode in the future where we play some CD PC Engine soundtracks.
And maybe like other CD consoles.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. But this is all the kind of original chip-based music we're playing today. So kind of went through and pretty much tried to find the cream of the crop as far as TurboGrafx 16 music. And what's interesting is we have a pretty good playlist here today, but it's pretty much, it's kind of the extent of, I think, high-quality TurboGrafx 16 music. There's really not a ton of it. You know, like if you were to do an episode on NES, for example, you could probably do like 10 volumes, and each volume would probably still be better than this. But there's definitely some kind of obscure games we're going to be playing from today, so it's going to be a good time. The first track you heard we played in was actually from Batman for the TurboGrafx 16, and it was composed by Nobuyuki Hara. And it's a very different version than all the other Batman games released. It's actually the gameplay is similar to Pac-Man. It's an overhead perspective kind of maze game.
Oh, yeah, Batman.
Yeah, you know, Batman, exactly what you'd think. So anyway, we're going to move on to a game called Terra Cresta 2. And this game came out only in Japan. It was a vertical scrolling space shooter, and it was composed by Ikihiro Akamoto and Sachitiko Oida. And this is Stage 1 from Terra Cresta 2.
Thank you.
This is stage one from Terra Cresta 2.
This is really one of the most beautiful melodies of our time. I can't say enough about it. I'd like to really dive in, to just take maybe 25, 26 minutes or so to just really delve into the theory behind this. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, a lot of these songs today, Will kind of thinks are kind of cliche.
No, I actually like them. They just, yeah. Every single one, I'm like, oh, it's, yeah. I mean, how many times, honestly, how many times have you heard this before? It just sounds like a mm-hmm. typical NES video game.
What I really like about the TurboGrafx-16 music is I would consider it kind of sounding 10-bit. It's slightly better than 8-bit stuff, not as good as 16-bit. What's cool, since they have six channels, is you hear in this song, the double-tracked lead. So it's like you get two of them instead of one, and then it's doing harmonies while there's a bass and a counter melody. So they're really using those other tracks in a nice way. I just like how a lot of this stuff is double track. And a lot of another one of my favorite things about TurboGrafx-16 music is the drum sounds. They're kind of endearing, and there's lots of tom fills we have today in a lot of these tracks. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of cool panning where it'll go back and forth. So it's kind of a drum heavy episode today.
You know what I just realized? What is the point of all this panning? Because most of these games were through coaxial, and I don't know if that had stereo at all.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's when you're composing something, you might as well just go all out with it, you know? I mean, I don't think you should really think about, oh, this isn't going to be, this isn't worth it to do this. I mean, I don't know. I think it's cool. I agree. It's kind of surprising they did it, but I think now it's fun to listen to.
Even all the way back to the NES, I don't even know how they would have ever thought that would have been an option.
I'm not sure either. That is kind of surprising. I mean, it's something that, it's kind of one of those things where it's like an added gift for us now to discover that kind of thing almost for the first time.
Right.
Because even if you did have stereo, when you're still listening to it on your TV.
But some of the panning, it's like, I don't know, I would say maybe it's just the settings naturally did that or something. But
I doubt it.
I don't know.
I mean,
like,
seems,
some of the panning is so intentional, like
yeah,
when
it's
it pans
intentional.
Back and forth.
It's definitely intentional. Yeah. I agree with you. It's kind of surprising.
But I have one last thing to say. Am I getting royalties for you using my term about the 10-bit? Or did I say 12-bit?
I don't know what you said, but this is, if there's any system that you would call that 10-bit or 12-bit, it's this system. We talked a little bit about with the PC-88. But if you're going to call the PC-88 12-bit, I think you'd call this 10-bit. It doesn't sound quite as good as the PC-88, but it's definitely somewhere in between. I think there was some false advertising at the time of the TG-16 coming out, where something about the processor, it technically had the ability to be more powerful than 16-bit systems, but at the end of the day, it was definitely less powerful than, you know,
sort of
the
like
Super Nintendo.
What happened with the Jaguar.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, both the audio and the graphics were definitely not as advanced as like something like the Super Nintendo. So we're going to move on here now to another space shooter game. We have a lot of space shooter games. They happen to just have, you know, some of the best soundtracks for the TG-16. But this game is called Superstar Soldier. It was composed by Natsumo Nakahashi and Kaida Hoshi, and it came out in 1990. It's a vertical scrolling space shooter. It's the third game in the Star Soldier series, which is a pretty popular series of games with pretty popular soundtracks. We're going to play stage
one. Put that in perspective to TurboGrafx, like levels of popularity.
Yeah. So here is stage one from Superstar Soldier. Stage one from Superstar Soldier.
To me, this is what I think most parents think video game music is like. For people that don't play video games, they probably just think, oh, it's just some sort of like techno sounding thing with like, I mean, they probably don't know it to a quite detailed level, but in my opinion, I value this about the same level that I value modern video game music. It's all like fine, like it's not like dissonant or it's all like sort of pleasing to the ear, but there's nothing like catchy. There's nothing that I would take out of it musically. It's just sort of like an aid to the visual experience.
Oh yeah, I mean I pretty much agree with you. I mean, I think this is an enjoyable piece. I think it really would be an exciting piece to go along with a space shooter. I think it has really kind of exciting rhythms. I like how frantic the drum and bass are, that kind of a thing. But I will agree with you.
How many times have you heard that?
Yeah,
you even call
exactly.
that the Ease bass line or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not as inspired as, you know, a lot of great video game music is. But it, you know, it does its job well.
I guess what I think is ironic is this music is actually a very similar type of music as, like, pretty much every Ease track. But mm-hmm. what's crazy is those two episodes were probably our most, like, some of the most in-depth.
Yeah.
And we really got deep into it and how yeah. well we respected the composition. So it's really not just the fact that this is more, like, rock or, like, it just...
It's the melodies.
It's not melodic. There's nothing mm-hmm. really to take out of it.
Yep. If you were just going to study the bass line, there's really nothing there. If you were just going to study the melody, it sounds like something you've heard hundreds of times before. But yeah, that's one of the more popular TG16 soundtracks. So we're going to move on to a game called The Ninja Warriors, and this is a pretty cool game from what I've seen. The gameplay looks very similar to Kung Fu for NES.
Oh, I love Kung Fu.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite NES games, actually. This game was released only in Japan. This was composed by Hasayoshi Ogura, and I guess another way you could say that is Zuntada, because he was, I think he was the keyboard player we saw in that video. So this game was composed by Zuntada, the in-house title band, which we, you know, so that video last week was actually a song from this game. That's what we're going to play right now. It's called Daddy Mulk.
So you can, oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
Oh my, what?
Yeah, so this is, I think, maybe like the first song you hear in the game.
Daddy Mulk?
Daddy
How's
Mulk.
How's it spelled?
Daddy, like normally, and then Mulk, like you'd
like
you
Bart
expect.
Simpson. Oh my God, that's just, okay.
It makes no sense, but it's a really catchy tune.
But
I think,
feel free to reference last week's video.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the track you heard, the live version last week. This is the actual soundtrack version. This is one of my favorite tracks of the day. This is called Daddy Mulk. Daddy Mulk from the Ninja Warriors. I really like that beginning melody, that din 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 din. But what's so funny is the drums are so lame. Like, I feel like this should be has a potential to be a really rocking track with like really like, I don't know, kind of epic sounding drums and bass, and the drums are just so timid. I think it's kind of hilarious. But
yeah,
it's definitely cheesy. It's kind of a cheesy piece.
I guess what I think is funny is like that type of concert like that, that's something that Koji Kondo or definitely Masato Nakamura, I mean, he's a bass player. Like, mm-hmm. he should be doing... I think it's weird for... And I think most normal, not video game nerds would think that just the fact that people who compose video game music just playing the music from those games mm-hmm. would be nerdy. But this, it's like... we are that, like, small minority who loves video game music mm-hmm. and talks about it, and I still think this is incredibly dorky.
It is very dorky.
And it's so cute, uncalled though. For.
Yeah, I think it's really cute. I mean, I don't know, there's something about that video, it makes you smile, but only in Japan. That's I guess, what you'd say about that. But, yeah, this is a track by Zentada.
I feel like that's something I could see, like, you doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I said this to Will when we were watching the video. It was like, why didn't I grow up in early 90s Japan? Because if I would start a band back then, it would probably be huge. Because, like, a lot of the kind of musical sensibilities and stuff I write happens to sound... I mean, hopefully, I think it's more inspired than
But
this
I guess it's like,
stuff,
what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah, yeah, that's very true. But yeah, this is a Zentada-composed soundtrack. Hayoshi Ogura. So we're going to move on now to probably the only game that I've actually ever played for the TurboGrafx-16.
Wait a minute. I'm pretty sure. I'm just going out on a limb, but I think that this is this week's...
Track of the week. Yay. Yeah, it is this week's Track of the Week. This is from Bomberman 93.
Dude, you know what we should do? We should, like, take that and, like, edit it up so it's like, track of the week.
We can do that.
Just, like, have fun. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, God. We need to have, like, an episode. Like, if we do, like, a funk episode or, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, a DJ episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, early 90s kind of hip-hop funk. Yeah, that'd
Dude,
be cool.
Dude, we should just do an episode where we talk about nothing but, like, classical music and, like, pretend that it has nothing to do with video games.
We'd have to play at least one video
we
game.
We all
track.
Talk in that, like, NPR, like, droning, boring voice. And next we have a 45-minute
sample. I think that would lose, like, all of our
that'd be really hilarious.
Yeah, all of our listeners. But anyway, yep, this is from Bomberman 93. I bought this game on the virtual console a few years back. This is a really fun Bomberman game. And like all the other Bombermans, it was composed by Jun Shikuma.
I just want to say a little thing about this track before we get into it, and then I won't say too much afterwards. But there's a Bomberman theme which is pretty well known. It's like... I forget how like how the actual melody does. Oh, it's like
and that's really not used in this one, but it's the second one we're playing today.
Right, and yeah. But this like this whole game sort of no, this one hints to it because it has a part of So like the whole game, it's really clever. I don't know if it really plays that song very much, but it hints at it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. It kind
of
hints.
It reminds me of
theme.
Something that they do in like. Well, this is probably not something you'd notice, but like in film scores, for example, Harry Potter.
Those cues.
That title theme. Yeah. John Williams doesn't do the scores anymore, and they don't really play the theme all out.
But they
in
hint
the later
at it
movies,
all
but
over
they
the
hint
place.
At it all
yeah,
the time.
That's really common. You're right. So anyway, this is Planet Quarry, which is World 1 from Bomberman 93. Planet Quarry.
Okay, that kicks ass. I love it because
such a good track.
It's rhythmically very exciting. The instrumentation is fantastic. Like just those colors and doop-a-dap, and then like the different sections and
yeah,
they're
this
so contrasting.
Kind of evokes a Middle Eastern feel,
right? Because uses like the harmonic,
but the part
minor
that
scale.
The last part that we just heard before it looped back is the happiest thing I've ever heard. It just makes me want to dance. It's just
right. No,
this
but
part
what
here.
I love about this is it's like the melody is happy and the feel is like it makes you want to sway your arms back
yeah.
and forth. But the chords underneath are sort of dark and a little bit. Twisted.
Yeah, and the harmonies,
really interesting.
One interesting thing about Jun Shikuma's style is very interesting harmonies. Lots of fourths, which gives it definitely an Eastern feel, but very unique, almost like maybe he didn't kind of study a lot of traditional part writing and harmonies, but it's purposeful and it really stands out in a in a striking way. But yeah, this is, I just love this track.
Yeah, I remember the first time playing through this game. A lot of the music in this game, actually, it's like the melodies are weird and like all over the place, but something about them is so catchy that it's like after like 5 minutes, I'd myself like singing this really complicated, like ding, 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 bring, ding, and all the little grace notes and everything, just because it's like it's so perfect.
Yeah, I think this is the catchiest track of the day. So,
oh, bye bye, good song.
All right, now we're going to go. This is another pretty good track. This is a game called Bloody Wolf, and I think it was originally released for the arcade. I think this game is notorious for its bad translation. Some people call it Ingrish. That's like an unofficial term for, you know, if you have bad English translation.
That's kind of racist.
I didn't make it up, and it's, you know, it's kind of just a term. But
Ingrish.
Yeah. So anyway, this game is composed by Shogo Sakai, Takafumi Mura, and Yuji Suzuki, as well as Yusuke Takahama. And this game came out in 1989. It's like a run-and-gun arcade game. It was released by Data East. And some of their soundtracks are, you know, not too bad. This was ported, obviously, to the TG-16. So we're going to play Level 3. This is from Bloody Wolf. Level 3 from Bloody Wolf. The instrumentation kind of reminds me of Stunts, that early kind of DOS PC game. In general, a lot of these TurboGrafx songs, they kind of have more of like an early PC sound. It doesn't sound very console-ish to me. And I think one of the things that
Especially that fuzzy like driving color underneath.
The fuzzy bass is what really makes this stuff stand out as opposed to NES music. It's very much a departure as far as the instrumental sounds, because a lot of these tracks have that fuzzy quality to a lot of the instruments, especially the bass.
Right.
Which is good for rock, you know, so it kind of fits this genre well.
Yeah, well, this song kind of strikes me in the same way that the recent Marvel Avengers film did, where it's like, it's good, everything about it, like my brain is processing it and telling me that it's good, but my heart and soul is like,
you're not getting an emotional response.
It's kind of cool, but for this, it just seems like I've heard it before. And mm-hmm. for the Avengers movie, it's definitely like I've seen and heard it before. Like every aspect of it's like I feel like too much saturation.
I think
when it
part
comes
of it is not the fault
movies.
Of the Avengers movie, but the fault of
every other
movie that's come out.
Oh yeah,
in the past
the movie's
years.
Great. I'm just sort of jaded on superhero mm-hmm. movies.
No, that's an interesting comparison. I definitely got that too. The A section of this, for sure, I agree with you. I kind of like some of this. That part's really
right.
cool. And some interesting chords in there. But yeah, this is a pretty good track. We're going to move on now. We're going to go to another game in the Star Soldier series. This game is called Soldier Blade. This came out a couple years after Superstar Soldier, which we already played a track from. And this was also composed by Kaito Hoshi, who composed the other game, as well
now,
as Makiko Tanefuji.
Is it like they're a superstar and a soldier, or are they a super star soldier?
It has nothing
or
to
is
do.
It super it's just a star
it's
soldier?
Just a, it's just a catchy title of a game. It's just a vertical space shooter.
Okay.
It has really nothing to do, I think. It's just, you know, just a catchy kind of a name. But this is the fourth game in the Star Soldier series. It came out in 1992. We're going to play the music from the first level. This is Operation One. Level 1, or Operation 1, I should say, from Soldier Blade. And this is actually one of the most popular soundtracks of the TG-16. A lot of people really love it. I mean, again, I kind of in agreement with Will, it seems just so cliche. It just feels like a little bit uninspired and just kind of phoning it in as far as like by the numbers type of, space shooter music.
In their defense, they probably weren't going for anything too melodic. They were just making video game music.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. If I was playing this game, I would never say, oh, this, I would say, oh, this is cool music because I'm in the midst of playing a game. I think when we're just listening to and analyzing it, it's really not fair because it's a different type of a situation.
But then could one make the argument that if we were grading this music based on what's its primary function,
yeah,
it's to aid the game and to help the gamer in the experience of mm-hmm. it. I think the rest of them, even if the melodies stick with you more, maybe it doesn't serve the game as well. I mean, who's to say that the Super Mario Brothers theme makes you play the game better? Who's to say it helps you?
I think it serves the game in that case because it's such an amazing piece of music and so catchy that it makes you want to keep playing.
Yeah,
and it makes
true.
It so that you don't get sick of playing, because if you didn't have that music, you would quit the game a lot quicker, a lot sooner than you would with that music. There's something about it that makes you want to keep playing. So in that case, I think that's what it does.
Yeah, but I guess in general, like, it doesn't have to be melodic to be effective.
Yeah, and it is melodic. It's not that it's not melodic. It's just it's not very unique.
Good melodic. It's like typical.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very inspired. It's not very unique, but it's very fast rhythms. It sounds perfect for a space shooter. So we're going to move on now to another game that was originally released for the arcade. It was ported to a bunch of systems. I think the PC-88, the MSX, NES, I think eventually the Saturn, and even the PS1, I think. This is Gradius.
This is a classic.
This is a classic. This is composed by Miki Higashino. And she is, I don't know what else she did. I think she did a couple other well-known games.
I wonder if she got teased on the playground, or maybe that is like a very common name
Miki?
In Japan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably pretty common, but she definitely, if she did, I think she kind of, got her stuff together and, turned out to be a pretty successful composer. But anyway, this track is called Challenger 1985. It's the first level from the game. The game did come out originally in 1985, so that makes sense. But this port came out in 1991. This is another horizontal space shooter. So this is level one, or Challenger 1985 from Gradius. Challenger 1985 from Gradius. This is a really good track. This kind of has a little bit more of a film score level of rousing excitement, a little bit more interesting melodic content than some of the other stuff we heard. I think I have played this original arcade game. It's a horizontal shooter.
Yeah, it's a
There's yawn. I think yawn number 4 for the podcast.
No, I say it's yawn number 1. Oh, for today.
For the podcast, it's like yawn 4, I believe.
Podcast is probably like yawn 100. You're not counting all the times I've yawned while, like, the tape isn't rolling.
That's true. So what do you think of this track? Do you like it?
Truthfully, I didn't completely have my headphones on for the whole time. But I know the track. It's pretty good. I got not too much to say about it.
Yeah. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to a game called Splatterhouse, which is kind of a unique... I guess like a horror beat-em-up game, side-scrolling. Originally arcade, again, then ported to the TG-16.
I wonder if this game has blood, because if it
doesn't... Oh, yes, it was pretty violent. I think some of the violence was toned down for the TG-16 release, but I think originally, at least for the time, it was considered pretty violent. It has some Western horror film kind of homages and influences, such as Friday the 13th and Evil Dead 2. I think if you know those movies and play the game, you'd kind of see some
like,
homages.
How so?
In some of the levels and some of the locations, I think, in characters, stuff like that. That's Friday just
the third, like maybe someone's wearing a hockey mask.
I'm sure. Actually, I think on the cover of the game, someone has a hockey mask.
I don't know what. I mean, Evil Dead is just like disgusting. Like, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this was composed by Katsuhiro Tajima and Yoshinori Kawamoto. And the track we're going to play is called Evil Cross in Nightmares. It's the fourth stage of the game. And this song is actually based on a composition by Chopin. I'm not sure exactly which particular one, if it was a nocturne or a prelude, but it's kind of widely known online is a track that's based on a Chopin tune. So this
I think
is,
it's funny. I wonder what Chopin would think. I mean, mm-hmm. in his time, he probably couldn't even guess what, I don't know, this type of
Yeah, it was interesting because I heard this track before I knew that, and I wasn't necessarily thinking Chopin, but I was thinking classical. I was like, oh my gosh, this is very authentic. And then I was a little bit disappointed when I found out it was based on a Chopin track because I was kind of going to be really impressed
right,
with these
you're
composers.
Like, finally, a really good one. Oh.
So anyway, this is Evil Cross in Nightmares. Stage 4, Evil Cross and Nightmares, based on music by Chopin.
I have a feeling that Chopin ripped off of Aladdin for the Genesis, because some of the instrumentation here just sounds a little suspicious.
Yeah, the TG-16 definitely has some instruments that are FM-like. They kind of sound like FM a little bit, so they kind of harken a little bit to the Genesis sound.
Oh, FM synth. Oh, mm-hmm. I see. When you said that to me earlier, I thought you were talking about like FM, like radio FM, and
That would make absolutely no sense. This is from Splatterhouse.
No, yeah, but those like ding, 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 that kind of reminds me. I don't know. Like
oh, yeah,
it's
kind of Aladdin.
Like...
That instrument is definitely in Aladdin. I think it's in the Cave of Wonders, or it's in the magic carpet level.
Yeah,
That level is so intense. Oh my gosh.
That's so awesome.
So yeah, we're gonna.
It's so mean. Oh, that's so stupid.
It is kind of mean.
It's all those things where it'd be like. For the whole time, it tells you which way to go. And
up
at the
down.
Very end, you just have to, like, take a lucky guess.
Yeah, it has
and
a question
like,
mark.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that game is so nostalgic. So we're going to move on to a game called Darius Plus. And again, a game that was originally released for the arcade. And this version was an expanded port. It was originally just called Darius, obviously.
Darius Plus is
the name of the TG-16 version.
It sounds like a bad translation.
But one kind of cool thing about the original game is there were some kind of horizontal shooters that did this. It uses three screens, so it's three times wider than the conventional arcade size. So they had to put three screens together. And I think they had to use mirrors to make it so you couldn't tell like where one started and where one ended. But
mirrors?
Kind of on the edge of each of the three screens, I think. I'd have to, you know, look at it to see, but it's kind of
why couldn't they just make
cool
one
effect.
Large screen?
Probably because it'd be more expensive. You know, it's probably cheaper for them to get...
like, glue.
Well, not
three
glue.
TVs
I mean,
together.
I think it was cheaper for them to just put three screens together because it was probably already a standard size, you know. But anyway...
Okay.
We're gonna digress because that doesn't really matter. This game was composed by Hasayoshi Ogura. Again, Zuntata. This is another Zuntata soundtrack. This track is called Captain Neo. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
This is Captain Neo from Darius Plus by Zuntata. So, Will, what do you think of Zuntata? What are your thoughts on them?
They're not really existent, but I do have some thoughts on this track. I kind of like how the do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like, that sustains through, like, I don't know. I kind of like that when, like, there's, like, a recurring thing even over, like, the chord changes and stuff.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You know, this is a pretty good track. I think the melodies aren't incredibly strong, but there's sections of it that are like this part. I think this part's pretty effective, actually.
I don't know. To me, it just seems like they're sort of like soloing, and they just like took whatever ideas.
There's
like
a little bit
like
of that.
The rhythmic idea, like da-da-da-da-da, that's a clever thing, but that doesn't go anywhere melodically. It's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Take it or leave it.
This part is a little bit kind of wandering. This part, I don't know. This part might be one of the best parts of the song. This initial melody.
Again, it's like the chords just sustain. That I kind of like that, because instead of like changing the chords, which is what the melody wants it to do, it sustains.
Yeah, it kind of gives it that wandering feel.
I know I'm digging in the dumpster for scraps of like things to pull out, but I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're going to move on to another track from Superstar Soldier. This is Stage 4. Here we go. Stage 4 from Superstar Soldier. I really like this track. I love that shimmering color that kind of stays on the same note for those two different chords in the beginning. I love the second time here when the harmony comes in and it's harmonized throughout the whole time. I have a feeling that, like, okay, imagine yourself, all you've ever played was like an NES. All of a sudden you buy a TurboGrafx-16, you hear this. This would be pretty amazing. I mean, it's kind of like the next generation of 8-bit music. You have better drum sounds. You actually have a bass that resembles an actual bass sound for the first time.
Right, and I mean, you have the reverb and
you
stuff.
You have more channels. You can have more different parts in that fully harmonized melody the entire time while there's bass, while there's a counter melody. I don't know. I just think it's at that time it'd be pretty impressive. I think this is a pretty good piece of music.
Yeah, this is catchy.
I like this. I think this is the best track of Superstar Soldier.
Was this made by?
No, this is not Zuntata.
See, this is something that could be played at. I don't know. This could go over decently.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites of the day. This is a really well done track.
Again, though, to me, this is like the type of thing that you would write if you were just phoning everything in.
Could be. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely nothing compared
the
to...
The harmony is not anything
I mean, compared
special,
to, like, Mega Man or, you know, Castlevania or something, it definitely doesn't hold up. But I don't know, I like the soundtrack. I think this is a
I would say that the way...
For TG-16.
The way that these sounds compare to, like, other 16-bit music, that's the way that all these, like, songs compare to a lot of good video game music.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a nice parallel to make.
It's barely fitting the quota.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting parallel. I might have to agree with that.
I think, you know what it is? Is it's probably an awkward space. Is it's like, with early 16-bit music, they were taking advantage of how like powerful their new like processors were and all the sound chips that they were able to use.
They were inspired
and
by that.
And with NES, they were so limited. So it was like...
They were forced
with
to.
NES, it was the limitations. And with 16, it was sort of the limitations, but it was also like...
I think the 16 was the inspiration of this new technology.
Yeah, I think this was just sort of like lazy. It's like, it's better, so let's just do what we were doing before, but let's just add one more note and let's just
One thing
add
I will
reverb.
Say about the TG-16 music is I really like what the drums are doing. I mean, I kind of wanted to play some of these tracks with just the drum channel. Soloed. I don't think I'll do that, but there's really a lot of cool tom fills and interesting panning, and I don't know. I think at least the tracks we picked today, they're very drum heavy. And
well,
they're...
I
Rhythmically, they're very interesting.
I think, in my opinion, another reason why is with 8-bit music, in order to convey any type of song, they had to use counter melodies. They had to have creative bass lines.
Yeah.
Because in order to get a sense of what the chord was, they had to be really smart about it.
That's true.
They don't have to do that, but they have cool enough instruments so it sounds really authentic.
I agree.
I think it's sort of a gray area.
Kind of resting on their laurels a little bit because they have better drum sounds and bass sounds, so they're not really coming up with as interesting parts. They're just kind of relying on the fact that you can have this boop boop, and it's pretty. Even that in itself is kind of interesting. Like it kind of sounds almost complete, you know.
I don't know. I guess I feel like this would be like an idea, a rough idea that they'd come up with for 8-bit, and then they'd have to refine it. And like if someone made this on an 8-bit, I think it would actually sound way better because they would have to do creative things to make it work.
Yep. So we're going to move on now to a game that we actually played in our last podcast a couple weeks back, Final Lap Twin. We played a song from that. We're going to play another couple songs today from that game. The game was composed by Katsuhiro Hayashi. Very interesting composer. This is song 3 from Final Lap Twin. I like this one. Let's take a listen. Song 3 from Final Lap Twin. This is a cool track. In the beginning section, I really like how the rhythm shifts there. The third time it comes back to it, it like shifts. It has a little break and it starts on like one beat later. That's kind of a catchy little effect. And then in this last section here, I love that solo that really kind of like doo 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 doo, that kind of pitch bending kind of a thing.
Right.
Again, these instrumentation reminds me a lot of Stunts or just kind of older DOS PC games.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely works for like a driving game, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Again, a really fuzzy instrumentation on the bass, which lends itself to rock music. We're going to play another track from that game later on. We're going to move on to a game called The Tower of Druaga. I think that's how you pronounce it. Druaga, I believe. Was originally, I think, an arcade game ported to lots of different systems. Originally came out in 84, and I don't think it made it to the PC Engine until 92. But this game was composed by Junko Ozawa, and most of the music I didn't think was that special, but for some reason, I found this high score. I was just watching a long play video of it, and someone was entering their score, and this little cute little classical theme I actually really liked, so that's what I'm going to play today. I think it's like a maze-based kind of action role-playing game. Kind of reminded me of games that I used to make for the TI-83 calculator back in high school. For some reason, it kind of reminds me of some of the games I used to make. But anyway,
The ones where it would say you're here and you have to do that, or
or just like Pass. Do you remember Pass?
Dude, Pass with the shit.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
I'm not supposed.
I can bleep it out. You want me to bleep it out?
Do like what were like the coin noise or
I'll bleep it out. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say the S word.
It's all good.
Or I mean the one up word.
So we're gonna play High Score from the Tower of Druaga. This is High Score, also known as Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's very similar.
Yeah.
It kind of takes that and runs with it. But it's catchy. It's cute. I think it's a nice little hidden gem. This part's nice, this B section. very authentic suspensions. It would authentic, fit right at home, but in not, a church.
I don't know. Like, to me, it reminds me of like the end of like the Mario 1, but it's like mm-hmm. that's so much more effective. That's yeah. from classical roots, but it's not as like, this is a little bit like making fun of classical, or it's like so on the nose oh, of yeah. like trying to be classical that it, mm-hmm. it's almost, it's not as effective.
Well, it is for a high score for like, you know, an arcade game. So it's slightly different, you know, but I like it. It's catchy. We're going to move on to another track from Soldier Blade. This is, if you beat the game, after you beat the game, it unlocks this challenge mode. So this is the music to that. It's called Challenge Stage from Soldier Blade. Challenge Stage from Soldier Blade. Now, before Will says something, I just want to quickly say, the thing I really like about this track, I really like, again, what the drums are doing. That part that happens near the end with those crash cymbals, that's so cool. I mean, there's something really piercing about them, and they sound kind of crappy, but I don't know. I think the drums are just doing a lot of interesting things in a lot of these soundtracks. But
right, yeah, I like this one. I think it's very effective. It's interesting melodically. Mm-hmm. It has different sections. It's a pretty decent piece of music. I don't mind it. My only concern is just immediately what struck me is it's like ripping off so many things.
Yeah.
Like the da-ba-da-da. I can't even list how many things mm-hmm. start off that way and just mm-hmm. like the instrumentation of it. I can't put, it's like Fester's Quest or there's something that's like.
I think there's multiple games yeah, that this but
then
off
that, yeah. then the rhythm after dan-dan, that's like. Reminds me also of like this Batman game, I think, for the NES. But I don't know. It just
and then
struck
that last
me as
section
a
little
that,
bit like. That sounded almost like a lot of Ease tracks, which, I mean, yeah, it definitely rips off a lot, but it's pretty good. I mean.
It probably wasn't like intentional. It was probably mm-hmm. just, I don't know, laziness.
Yeah. We're going to move on to another track from Bomberman 93. And this track I also really like a lot. This is called Planet Inferno. This is the third world in the game. The actual, yeah. like if you play the actual, not the battle, but the actual.
Bomberman 93 is classic.
I wouldn't call it story mode, but I mean, I guess single player game. But yeah, again, Jun Shikuma. This one is another good example of how many kind of fourths he uses in his melodies and harmonies. Very unique compositional style. This again harkens to that theme that Will mentioned. It kind of has that takes that little cue of the Bomberman theme. But this is one of the better tracks in this game as well. So this is Planet Inferno. Track. This is Planet Inferno. One thing I want to say about this is the actual music itself, I said a lot of uses of fourths. Again, it gives it a very kind of traditional Eastern sound. I think very traditional sounding. I mean, I think if you took this music and played it with like a traditional kind of like Asian, you know, ensemble with like maybe like a koto or just a shamisen or those kind of instruments, I think it would be very beautiful and pretty. I think one thing that's funny about it is the instruments on the TG-16, the kind of crappy, fuzzy sounds, kind of make it blurry how pretty the song actually is. You know, that's something that, it's something endearing at the same time, though.
I don't know, I think it's kind of purposeful. It has yeah. that type of melody, but the chords underneath, like the other track, are a little bit darker, and they, yeah. they twist you a certain way, because the harmony and melody land on a certain note, and then it's, and it, not only the, like, crassness of the instrument, it's like tonality, but also what it's actually, the pitches that it's hitting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's very striking. I really like it, though. This is very well done, how it harks to the theme. It feels like this guy, he's definitely a very legitimate composer. Like,
but he has a completely unique style. And again,
I feel like for his arrangement of like the form mm-hmm. of the piece is very
legitimate. His melodies sound like no other video game. They're very, very unique. And his use of interesting harmonies and kind of harmonizing an entire melody almost to the point where it's a little bit inappropriate, but it's kind of its own style. I mean, this was one when I first heard it, I wasn't too sure about it. It kind of had to grow on me.
To me, this whole soundtrack was like that.
Yes, that's definitely, I agree with that. So
Bomberman music in general. Dude, mm-hmm. we need to play some. Bomberman music is so like obnoxious, but like catchy. It's all a guilty pleasure for
it
me.
It is, and it takes a while for it to become catchy. Like
initially, Super Bomberman 2
initially
and stuff.
It's just obnoxious, but then it gets to the point where there's something, it's like,
oh, like there's that one song,
yeah, I think we played that.
And then there's like those harmonies that come in, and it's like, gosh, it's so ridiculous. It reminds me of like when you made that song with like the horns would come in, and then like each time like a third on top or something, till it just got like absolutely like obnoxious.
Yeah, it was like almost to a comedic effect. Yeah. But yeah, we're going to move on. This is a really cool find. This is an incredibly obscure game. I showed this to Will. This might be one of his favorites. He definitely responded a lot to this track. But this is a game called Spiral Wave, and the composer is unknown. It was released only in Japan. It was a 3D kind of sci-fi space adventure game, and it's not a very good game from some of the reviews that I've seen. It's very, very obscure and kind of rare, but I was just reading some things. It wasn't supposed to be that great of a game. I just, you know, I downloaded this whole soundtrack and had to kind of make my own tracks. And I think this is the ending. I'm obviously not sure, but it was the last track, and it sounds like an ending to me. So I'm pretty sure this is the ending. This game came out in 91, and there's absolutely no presence of any of this music on YouTube. So we were going to make this our track of the week, but if that was the case, we wouldn't have been able to put up the track because it doesn't exist anywhere on YouTube. So anyway, this is one of the better tracks of today. This is Ending from Spiral Wave. This is Ending from Spiral Wave.
That is incredibly effective, extremely authentic. What I love and admire so much about this, everything about it is done very well. It's composed, it's very beautiful. I mean, harmonically, it's very pretty. But also, there's some tracks where, like, they use certain suspensions, like Ease music, where it's like they use certain classical sounding suspensions, but it's not an authentic. But this is very authentic. Mm-hmm. Like, it was composed, and it's all very legitimate. Like,
and they don't overdo the suspensions. When they use the suspensions, they're very powerful, because they only use them a few times in the song. And my favorite part is this part here, looping back, that last chord. That just, it's such a great transition.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really glad I found this. I was listening to prepare for this week, I couldn't tell you how many crazy, obscure soundtracks I listened to, TG-16 soundtrack. Most of it, honestly, garbage. Just a lot of really bad music I had to listen to this week. in last week. But I was listening to this and nothing special, and I was almost going to give up, and I went to this track, and I'm so glad I stuck with it because...
I mean, I don't know. I love how also it's like, it's harmonically, it's so beautiful, but it's not overindulgent. Like, also the levels of everything, it's so, like, smart. The balance is so smart because the harmonies don't overpower, and it's not like... some type of video game, like the track we played earlier, it's almost like, aren't you proud of me? I was able to have a harmony, but it's just like constant thirds. Like, isn't that so cool? But like, this is very, like, very well done. What's the name of this composer?
It's unknown.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it was just released in Japan and it wasn't very popular and it wasn't a very good game. So there's absolutely no way. I mean, I think if I actually played the game and watched the credits, I could figure it out. That's actually what I did for some of these tracks. Luckily, there were long play YouTube videos of them, and I just went to the end and saw the actual names in the credits. But there didn't exist that video for this game. So,
how did you find it?
I got the soundtrack from HES soundtrack, and then I just typed it in, and there's like a review of it, and there's some footage of it, maybe on YouTube, but nothing extensive. So anyway, we're gonna move on. This is another track from Superstar Soldier. This is Stage 6. Stage 6 from Superstar Soldier. This is pretty good. I like the shuffle swung rhythm. It's similar to that Contra track we played a little bit ago.
Right. The, way superior, though. But even the melody of that is like a similar rhythm, because that's like...
This one is completely ripping off of Ease. It's Theme of Adoru. It's this part especially. It's almost indefensible, but I mean, there's probably lots of other video game songs out there that, you know, probably do the same kind of thing.
Well, especially Contra, like, it's like the same rhythm is that
but the melodic and harmonic stuff is just like so kind of ripping off Ease.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, if you haven't heard play those games, I mean, most people probably wouldn't have a problem with that.
It's okay. I guess to me, it's the type of thing where it's like, in an alternate universe, if this existed instead of that, this wouldn't be more famous.
That's true, yeah. And, you know, and that kind of brings up an interesting point. It's like, is it a problem if something, quote, rips off another game? I mean, because as a composer, I mean, you and me both know that a lot of stuff isn't intentional. A lot of people might say, oh, that rips off something. So, I mean, is it really a problem? I mean, maybe we shouldn't, you know,
Well, I guess the thing is, there's certain things where people always like to label, oh, this sounds just like that, or it's ripping off that. And 9 times out of 10, I wouldn't say it's actually ripping it off. But this... I think it's passable if it's something that meets the level or is like really good. But this, I don't think it was intentional, but it still just sounds lazy. It doesn't. It's not a really good piece of
music. It's not as good as the tracks that it's ripping off. Yeah.
Right, where I know a lot of music where it's like, oh, it's ripping off this, but oh, hey, look, this is way better.
Mm-hmm. Or it's different. It goes in a different direction, yeah. But so we're going to play another track from Final App Twin. This is a pretty cool track. And this one, again, for a lot of these tracks, I didn't know the titles. I had to guess them myself or watch YouTube videos and see what was going on. For this one, I couldn't find it anywhere as far as the
video. I commend you for your bravery.
As far as the video goes. So I'm pretty sure, again, this is an ending. So this is Ending ? From Final App Twin. This is ending, possibly, from Final App Twin. It had kind of a promising start. I feel like they really lost their steam in that last section. This part, it kind of gets a little bit of it back. It's slightly interesting, but that last section that before we faded out, I feel like they really kind of lost the steam. It wasn't really interesting as much anymore.
Well, I think a big problem is I actually fall into this compositionally, but sometimes I have the desire to not really stop after a melody and to just keep going and keep moving with it. But I think that's only effective if the melody continues to be interesting,
yes,
if it moves in. But for this, it's like okay, you can stop it now.
I mean, you'd be better
it's
off...
out of fuel. It's not doing anything interesting
you'd
anymore.
Be better off repeating an earlier thing to make it, you know,
exactly,
more memorable. Yep. So that's it for the Final App Twin tracks. We're not going to play any more of that. But move on to another track from Gradius. This is Free Flyer. Free Flyer from Gradius. The first thing I noticed about this is it reminded me of Sonic. Maybe it was like either Sonic 2 or Sonic and Knuckles, one of the ending levels. But I think this came out well before those two games. So
I think that then that is a definitive sign. Is this reminds me a lot of Sky Chase Zone. It's almost very similar. But Sky Chase Zone, maybe if people were really...
I think Sky Sanctuary, actually, is what you're thinking of. Not Sky Chase.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if some people, I don't know, if they were really game enthusiasts, they would have said that rips off of it. Mm-hmm. But, that came out way later, and this is, that is a million times more effective than this.
Yes, I agree.
Especially, there's that little hook in there, and it just, like, really soars. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But these are very similar chords and melody, but this is just done in sort of just, like, a campy, boring way, where that's done in, like, a very, like, epic, like, it's putting everything out onto the line.
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of like the soundtrack. This track has a similar feel to the other Gradius track we played, the Challenger 85. It has a rousing, slightly thematic kind of film score-ish type of tone to it that I think is good. I think when it came out, it was probably pretty impressive, and I think it fit the game well. It gives a, I don't know, it gets you amped up.
No,
for
yeah,
it.
I guess I feel like it, the rhythm and like what's happening like rhythmically and with the percussion, it doesn't serve the melody as well as it could. Like the fact that it's like do. I don't know. The melody is pretty enough, and it's just it feels like it doesn't take it seriously.
I think that's one of the recurring themes of a lot of these tracks today. And the interesting thing is, I really spent a lot of time really listening through, and I really am confident that this is the cream of the crop when it comes to TG16 music. And that being said, there's just still a lot of uninspired music that we're playing today.
Yeah, I mean, this is the hardest thing, because it's not dissonant, it's not experimental or weird, or like, it doesn't make me angry. It just, it leaves me very uninterested, and I don't know, I'd say a little disappointing. I mean, it's about what you'd expect. It's video game music, it's just sort of generic.
And another interesting thing as far as like, to kind of show you how little there is of good original music for the system, is so many of these tracks are original arcade games. They're not original TG16 soundtracks. They're just, like, this game was ported. So this isn't considered like a TG16 soundtrack. This is, I mean, so a lot, that's another thing, is about half the tracks we're playing today weren't even originally released for the TG16. So it was kind of...
If you ever say TG16 again, I'm just going to roll my eyes.
Yeah, TurboGrafx, PC Engine.
Well, you don't like when I say COD, so you have
to. Well,
the thing
is, TurboGrafx-16 is hard to say and long. It's very long, so. But surprisingly, TG16 is kind of hard to say, too. I just wanted to say it one more time. So we're going to play another track from
Soldier... Just say TurboGrafx.
TurboGrafx, yeah. We're going to play another track from Soldier Blade. And this is actually my favorite one of this game. I really like this track. This is the ending from Soldier Blade.
That is beautiful. That's a perfect, like, end of... is that the end credits?
That's just the ending. It's not the end credits. So it's just the ending.
That's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that's really well done.
And especially the way it slows down there, like that retard, and then the little ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and what you were saying, I liked what you were saying when we were listening to this, is this is one where they really kind of, it's driven by the melody. In the orchestration, the instrumentation, it really lets the melody sing, lets it shine. It builds up the anticipation and the emotional, because it starts off more sparse, and then just the kick drum, and then the beat, and it's really well done for now.
Right, and I was making the comparison to how this song, it's more kind of like, because we were talking about this, it kind of reminds me of like that Titanic song, My Heart Will Go On or whatever, where it's like, it's that type of song where it's mm-hmm. all about the melody,
yeah.
and everything else is just serving it. Where that yes. other song, when you have that ding, 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 it's so like guiding where this melody can go, because you've already established how cheesy this is going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's like that melody had potential, but the rhythm just mm-hmm. didn't fit with it.
Yeah, you know, yep. This is a very good endings theme. So that was all the tracks playing today. Other than
that was
the one,
a really nice note to go out on. That was very pretty.
Yeah, we're going to obviously play a track to close with, as we usually do. But honestly, it was really tough for me to find these tracks. I mean, amidst lots of filler, lots of very poor soundtracks. And I think, at the end of the day, this is a pretty good collection of songs, but it really represents the best the system has to offer. It's just kind of an interesting glimpse into kind of the fact that there's really not a lot of great music for the system. But I'm glad we did this episode on. I think a lot of people haven't heard a lot of this music before. It's fairly, some of these are really obscure, and a lot of these are just in general kind of lesser known tracks. So I'm kind of glad we did this.
Well, I know Legacy Music Hour did their own TurboGrafx, and I can't recall what the music was like. I remember it being okay. I mm-hmm. think it was like a similar thing where it was decent.
Yeah.
Nothing special.
Yeah, so like we said, we'll do another one that has the PC soundtracks, because there's a lot of great actual soundtracks. In some ways, I think probably better music came out for the PC add-ons.
Oh, you got me excited.
But
you mean maybe CD we could, add-ons.
CD.
See, yeah. I thought you meant like next week we're doing PC.
No. But actually, you know what we're doing
next week actually is really exciting.
Next week, let me say this. Next week, we've been kind of putting it off. I don't think we can put it off any longer. We definitely have to do it. Next week, we're doing Sonic the Hedgehog, Volume 1.
Yeah, I just decided now volume because, mm-hmm. I mean, there's not a lot of great Sonic games, and there's not a lot of fantastic Sonic music, but Carl is like probably the most prolific Sonic inspired composer on the internet, if that means much to you. But I just think it would be an injustice to not have
it's only a matter of time. I mean, Sonic music is where that's what I represent with. I mean,
it would just be a disservice if we didn't play every single good mm-hmm. track from that series at some point.
So yeah, that's look forward to that next week. I think that's going to be a really great episode. But yeah, this was kind of a nice. I think it's a good one for us to come back to.
At some point, like I don't know. I think we should do. We should talk to Marty and see if he can do like a little prepared piece to like, or like a call in or something
for next week.
For next week's episode, because he definitely would have some things to say about it.
Yeah, maybe we'll just like hold a phone up to the microphone or something. But. Yeah, well, thanks a lot for listening, you guys. It's good to be back with you. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. We hope you had a good time listening, and I hope you missed us. We really appreciate all you guys listening to this podcast as we sort of grow and develop and get into sort of a place of being comfortable with what we're doing.
And we really appreciate the comments, the suggestions, the emails, the messages. We do now, one thing to plug, we have a Facebook group now. So we have a Facebook page. So if you type in Supermercado Bros, you'll find the page. Feel free to like us. That's a great place where we'll every time we have a new episode, you'll see it on Facebook. You also see other various links and kind of fun things we'll do on there. So feel free to like that.
And again, the Twitter's always there. The iTunes RSS feed. I know a lot of you guys are doing that, and we really appreciate all the support, and just keep it coming and let us know things that we can do to improve, because that's all really important to us.
All right. We're going to play you out with a track from a game called Valkyrie no Danetsu. This is the main theme. We'll see you next time.